Merry Christmas.
How are you? Good day. Man, it's cold, but it's beautiful. Sunshine, a little bit of snow. Got through the storm, huh? Yeah. Let me see. How about today? We're going to start with 103, please, and let's stand. 103. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate your gift to us, Lord, of our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, it's because of your great love for us and your mercy and grace, Lord, that you gave up your Son for us and that he gave his life for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate his birth. Lord, what a miraculous thing, a baby born to become Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for his life here, for his sacrifice for us, his death, Lord, and his ultimate resurrection, Lord. Thank you that we can know him as personal Savior today. Father, bless this time to come as we have a Christmas service today. May we recognize you, first of all, Lord, for all that you've done for us and continue to do. Be with our pastor, Lord. Strengthen him. Use him today, Lord. May his message, your message that you laid in his heart, Lord, would it speak to us, Lord. Give us something to use in our daily Christian lives again, Lord, as we leave the building today. And, Lord, if someone isn't right with you now, I pray that they would be so before they leave the building today. Pray for others, Lord, that still might be coming in. Thank you, Lord, for the many bounteous gifts and the food, Lord, that all of us have gotten able to experience. Thank you for this time again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 118, please. 118. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, peasant kings to own him, the King of kings, salvation brings, let the hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the babe, the Son of Mary. Thank you. Okay, there's no evening service tonight. If you come, you're going to be by yourself, so don't forget that. December 25th, that's today. Children's message, one service only today. Personal evangelism is on the 27th this month. If you have a new address or phone number, please let Deb know so she can change it in directory. Thank you. Here we go with some dates. January 3rd, 17th, 31st is personal evangelism. The 5th and 19th is Wilton Bible Study. And January 7th and 21st is Iron Sharpens Iron here at the church. Stand-up meeting regarding clarification of whether offerings passed or left the door on table January 8th after the morning service. And passes off the week, Jesus operates the longest-running gift return department of all times. Ha! Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to come to your house today, Lord, to worship you. Again, Lord, we thank you for the Christmas season, all that you've done for us. Thanks, Lord, for those that made it here today to enjoy this time together. I just pray, Lord, as we go into your word today, that you'll give us a little gift, Lord, here also. Today, Lord, we're going to take up this offering. Please be with the gift and gear as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Kay's going to play it for us now.
Today were his birth instead of his birthday, would you hear the angels' glad song? Or are your ears so deafened by the noise of the world and the sound you've heard for so long? If today were his birth, would you know the young couple as the parents of the Christ child to be? Or would you say there's no room and turn him away, too blind the Savior to see? Would you notice the brilliance of the star announcing the birth of the Lord? Could you accept the poor shepherds from afar and make them welcome as guests in your home? If today were his birth instead of his birthday, would you turn him away? Just what would you say if today were the day he came and knocked at your door?
Message for today. Now, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church. We're glad for everyone that's here today. Hope you are experiencing a day of rejoicing today in the celebration of the birth of the Savior. Well, today is kind of a quasi-children's message. We're a little low on young people here today. Let's see, are the Solace boys here? Yes, they are. There's Jay Don. So I'm going to pick on you a little bit. I might pick on some of the rest of you too as well this morning. But I just want to ask us what we think this morning about Jesus, because that's going to be the focus of our message today. And so I'd like to interview a few folks today. Kay, you didn't know what I was preaching on. I didn't know what song you had, but that fit just perfectly. Because I really believe this, folks, and I do have joy today. What do I think about Jesus? He's the whole difference that's made in everything. And I think today that people that lack joy and that are in the grind with what's going on today in our world, they've got to turn to Jesus if they're going to have joy, because he's the only way. And if you don't have that truth, I'm telling you, folks, we have great things ahead of us as those that are his children. If you're his child today, you've been bought by the blood of the Lamb, don't get discouraged. Nothing's changed. Just from what you sang about, Kay, in Bethlehem. Many people know about him, but they don't know him. And so we're still here to bring that good news. So I'm going to pick on a few people today. Jaden and Vonnie, can I pick on you this morning? Jaden, come on up here, Vonnie. So after we pray here, well, we'll do this first and then we'll pray. But I'm just going to ask that simple question. If you can share that this morning, what do you think about Jesus today? What's on your heart thinking about Jesus?
Well, I think that he really means what he wants. God says that he loves every one of us, and that it hasn't changed in all the time that God's been around. That he wants to help us, and it's just that he offers something completely free for us. And sometimes it's also hard to believe that sometimes people don't want which is free. Something that is good.
Yep.
Something that God would offer us that they turn away.
Yep, you're right, Jaden. Thank you for your thoughts. Did you have some more on Jesus today? Sure.
Well, also, there's occasional parts that are a bit confusing here and there. Some things that are hard to understand.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Jaden. But we know this, we can be very thankful that Jesus has not left us helpless or hopeless, and so we have the power in his word, the Bible, and we have that great resource, again, that God explains himself to us as the lover of mankind. It's his love letter to mankind. So that's an exciting thing that we have, Jaden. We can grow all the days of our life in Jesus from the power of his word and the help of the Holy Spirit. All right, Vonnie, Merry Christmas. Do you have anything to say about Jesus today? You don't want to? That's okay. Well, can you at least just tell everyone Merry Christmas? Here, you want to hold that? Everyone likes to hold a microphone, right?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Vonnie, we're so glad to hear from you today. How about some older children this morning? Alicia, you have anything you want to say about Jesus this morning? Anyone else want to say anything? proclaim the good tidings. Lynn, get up here. I can get closer to you. We're glad you're here too today, by the way.
Well, I'm thankful to be back in God's house, be around his people. And I'm thankful that he loved me enough to put up with me. There's times in my life that has been a struggle, but I knew where I needed to be was here in God's house with his people. And I'm thankful that he loved me enough that he died on the cross for me. And sometimes I look at it and say, I don't deserve that by any means. But he's still there. He's always with me. And I think we need to be able to get out and reach the many people at this time, because I see things now that are happening that bothers me.
Yeah.
And I know it's close. And there's so many people that I'm around that I see that, as I said before, they're hurting. They're fearful of things that are happening, and they don't know what to do. And we need to be that light to them. We ought to say there is hope, peace, and there is a joy. I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be here. I thank for my wife, my children. Like I say, it's sometimes it's tough. We seem to follow a path that's wrong, but Christ is always there to steer us back to the right way.
Man.
Thankful again for his love, and I thank you for the people that are here, and the pastor. I'm thankful for the pastor, for what he does. He preaches the word, the true word, and you don't see that much anymore. And then and I thank you for God's word, and I try to study it every day I can, and he keeps me strong, and I thank you.
Amen. Anyone else want to share briefly? Come on up, Al. Yeah, well, there is a handout for today's message if you want to take some quick notes. I'll be glad to bring that around. But I just want to say as well, you know, the joy that we have today. We may face many trials, but the fact that Jesus knows what we go through, and he went through many of the same things that we do, but along with that, the fact that he was still willing to go and to pay the penalty for my sin. For that, I love him today and thank him, and all the great blessings that he's given to all of us. Jason and then Kim.
Well, Kim, you can go first if you like.
Well, John and I were blessed with a new grandbaby on Friday, so we have a Christmas baby. But it made me think about Christ. And when he was born in such harsh conditions. And our baby was born in a hospital that was warm and loved and cuddled and had a home to go to, and Jesus had no home. And it made John and I reflect on the difference. But they're the same. Jesus is born into a cold, sinful world, and our grandbaby is too. So you can never start praying too soon for their salvation, because that really is the only hope that he'll have, is by accepting Christ as his Savior. So we're thankful for that
Amen.
We have that option.
Thank you, Grandma Kim.
Well, praise God. I want to say a word too, and you know, I was just thinking about something special that my parents, who are with me here today, always do for us, or have been doing for us as of late, for Christmas. And I'm sure you guys have all seen or at least heard of a movie. I'm not saying it's a good movie to watch, but it's out there, Forrest Gump. And one of the popular lines is, life is like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. Now, they send a box of See's candy from out in California every year for us, because that was kind of a tradition that we had growing up at my grandparents' house. And, you know, I always think about, you know, you pass around a box of chocolates, and people are always kind of looking at them, oh, which one do I want? Which one? You know, like, oh, I might get a bad one. You know, I may not want that one with the marshmallows or something, you know. So anyway, you know, people, they kind of take their time and rifle through, but, you know, Jesus isn't exactly like a box of chocolates, and in some one sense, but in the other, he is, because everything you're going to get, you know, you don't have to be afraid of opening that gift and picking that blessing, because it's all going to be sweet and it's all going to be good.
Amen.
And, you know, that's just something I was thinking about this morning with that box of chocolates that we're going to be opening up a little bit later. But it's all a blessing from God, and we can't be holy we can't be cleansed, we can't be purified, and we cannot be saved without Jesus Christ. And it's a sweet walk.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jason. Anyone else today? Alicia, good for you. This is Alicia, but I'll always know her as Alicia from youth group days.
My karaoke microphone. I love karaoke. No, I'm not going to sing. So I guess, you know, for me, I used to tell my dad, God's forgot about me. No. But I promise he hasn't.
No, yeah.
So anyway, it's Christmas and it's hard, but we wouldn't be where we are if we didn't have it.
Thanks, Alicia. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Last call. Any more children? Okay. I do pray that you have a great Christmas day. All right. We're going to open up our Bibles this morning. You do have that handout, and you might want to jot a few of these things down, because as you know, in our last 4 weeks here, we've been exploring Jesus' journey from the cradle to the cross. And we know that it's been more than we could ever preach in 4 weeks. But it's a great study to investigate just exactly what all took place. And the Bible is the ultimate history book, and it gives us an account into obviously not everything that Jesus did and where he went, but it gives us a great account and enough, more than enough, to understand who he was and, again, the prevailing attitudes that were there at that time and the reason that we see some of the prevailing attitudes in our current day. Because, as I said earlier, not a lot has changed. But before we go any further, let's go to prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you today. Lord, through all the obstruction that Satan has tried to throw into your life and into your history, Lord, and all the things that humanity has done to put you out in the cold from the very night you were born, no room in the inn, but you were outside in the rough, harsh conditions. Lord, you endured all that, and it tells us in your scriptures that you endured it with joy. You went to the cross, despising the shame, and you paid the price for humanity's sin and rejection of the God of the Bible. Lord, thank you that you did not just pay the price, but you also rose victoriously as the risen, living Savior. And your word, you are the word, but your word that you have given, Lord, to mankind in your love letter is a living and powerful word. We thank you for that today, Lord. For those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Lord, we live victoriously, even in this broken world. We thank you for that today, Lord. Lord, it's obvious as we look around, many churches today are closed, and maybe for some it's because of the colder temperatures and a little bit of snow we had around here, Lord, 1 or 2 inches. But Lord, in a lot of cases, they're closed because people have no interest in you. They don't even know you, and their eyes have never been opened. Oh Lord, we pray, not only for our community here at Fruitland, but throughout this world, that the living gospel might reach the hearts of man. Lord, we pray for our own flock here today. We pray today, Father, for those that are consumed possibly with trials and afflictions of life, Lord, that prevented them to have joy today or to even come out and celebrate here in the gathering of the church. Lord, we think today of Charlene Hubbard as well, who's struggling. Lord, I know she loves you dearly. I pray that you wrap her loving arms around her, Lord, at this time, that your will would be done concerning her, that you would raise her, Lord, back to improved health, if it might be your will. And, Lord, we have others. We do pray, though, Lord, that as people meet with their families, that, again, we pass the light, that we'd share the light of the world, who is Jesus, in this dark world. Now, Lord, we've been on a little journey here with you, the last few weeks, specifically from your birth to the cross. And today, we're going to see what people had to say at the cross about you. Lord, may we be filled today with joy and with much to say about the wondrous relationship that you have offered and for those of us that have accepted that we have today. And Lord, may this indeed truly be a celebration of your birth today, that we would communicate to you just how much we love you. Thank you now for this gathering this morning. May you bless the preaching. Lord, may the Spirit have free course today in the lives of the people, not only here, but that may be listening on the internet, or Lord, that may hear the gospel from another pulpit or another mouth, Lord, that is willing to share it. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends of Jesus of Nazareth, this morning we culminate our series From Cradle to Cross, A Journey with Jesus at the Cross. Just as we heard this morning, people have many things to say about Jesus. And I encourage you today to consider, what do you have to say about Jesus? I find in my interaction with people, everyone has something to say about something. If nothing else today, wherever you go, someone might say, well, it's sure a lot nicer today than it was yesterday. The wind has gone down. But invariably what happens in the hearts of us sinful humans, we begin to what? To complain and to murmur and to wish things were just a little different and to not be thankful for what is and has been and always will be, that being Jesus. Here, probably most of what we say about Jesus is good because we know who he is. But in general, just like at the cross, there are mixed thoughts and therefore mixed sayings about Jesus and the cross. What do you think and say? In our brief time this morning, with the cross being the central focus of all history, let us listen into what was said as Jesus died for the sins of the world. And remember, it was for you and me. He died personally for us, for our sin. Well, you have a handout this morning. You might want to jot a few things down. We're going to do a lot of Bible turning this morning, and there may be some that don't like that, or if you have your device. But if you don't, you can go back and look at what you miss, because you've got a little bit of scripture here to back it up. But my friends, let it be known, there was a lot that was said from the cross. And we're going to look into that this morning. First one is Pilate. Pilate, the Roman governor in Judea. And of course, there's quite a bit written about him and his interaction with Jesus. And ultimately, what did Pilate say? He said, yeah, I've washed my hands of it. I find no what in him. No fault, no guilt. By the way, if Jesus was on a real trial, if you had a real jury, you could not have produced any evidence to convict him of his crime. But you know what? A jury doesn't matter all the time. Because people's thoughts and their cold hearts often prevail in situations. And it doesn't work out the way it should. But let me just say this. It worked out the way it should because God planned it. And his plan is not deviated. But let's see what Pilate did. You can read for yourself on this. John 19:19-22. John chapter 19, verses 19 through 22. Pilate made a big statement. And I want you to consider this, and I've considered it as well. Is what he had to say a mockery, or was it a post that he put above that cross that was speculative? Was it mockery, or was he speculative about this and saying, you know what, he might just be who he said he is? Well, here's what Pilate placed above Jesus' cross. His statement was in the form of a sign. Verse 19. John 19:19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now, I just want us to know this for a fact. When you look at all the Gospels and the account of this, this is actually what that sign said. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. If you look at all the writers of the account of this in Scripture, that's what was written up there. He's saying specifically, Pilate there, whether it was mockery or he was speculating that this might just be true, that this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So Pilate made a profound statement there as the governor of Judea. By the way, it was written in three languages, the Bible says. Let's read the rest of this text. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Why would that have been an important factor that day? Because nominally all the people that were around that cross would have spoken one or more of those three languages. It was plainly stated. By the way, I don't believe anything happens by accident. This was divine movement, even through Pilate, that God uses. People could see it advertised. Those that saw it advertised had a choice, didn't they? To accept it or reject it. To mock it or even to speculate on it and wonder about it. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews." And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." So that's what Pilate had to say at the cross. "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." There's the first voice that came from the cross. The second one is the passers-by. Matthew 27:39-40. Matthew 27:39-40. And again, as we think about this, what would you and I have said at the cross? We live in a very cynical world, don't we? My wife tells me I talk back to the TV when the news is on. Because I say, "That's not accurate." Kim says, "Why are you talking to the TV? It won't do a bit of good." Well, maybe it helped me. But we live in a cynical world. We doubt everything, don't we? And let me tell you, this world is filled with people that doubt Jesus. And they doubt his account and his testimony that's held the test of time now for nearly 2,000 years in Scripture. Not totally in Scripture, but 1,950 years around that in Scripture from his actual life. But as we've been learning during this season, it was prophesied clear back at Genesis 3:15. It's been out there. The news is out there, my friends. We had a little message about that too. People said, "I didn't know about that. I didn't hear about that." Well, that's the way it is, but it was there. Matthew 27:39-40. This is a nominal crowd, part of them, the passers-by. Matthew 27:39-40. "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads." They were very what? Plainly against Jesus. They were cynical about what the message was that he had come to proclaim. "And they said, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Isn't that something? What they said to the Lord Jesus. And yet, they knew what he said. They knew that he said he would rise again on the third day. But what did they do? They mocked him with his own words. You know, I think it's interesting, as I sub in school, technically we're not supposed to preach or teach or encourage people in religious things in the public schools. Let me just say this, I still speak about Jesus. And one of the things I've said is, if I can hear his name mentioned in school, as I do from many people mocking him, why can't I say the same words? Jesus Christ, praising him. But you see what's going on here? They mocked him with his own words. Go over to Mark's Gospel, 15:29-35. Mark 15:29-35. "And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself, come down from the cross." So there again, we find the same thing, but all the way down through 35. "Likewise also the chief priests," we'll look at them later, "said among themselves with the scribes, the religious leaders, he saved others, himself he cannot save. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. In the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, ma sabachthani, which is being interpreted, My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, "Behold, he calleth on Elias," or Elijah. So they also knew about the scriptures about Elijah, the prophet. And of course, the connection between John the Baptist and he being the one that came to tell people the way of salvation was to be Jesus. He was the forerunner for John the Baptist. And then also in Luke 23 through 35. Luke 23, verse 35. These are the people that were nominally there at the cross. By the way, why was the cross a place where many people gathered that day? Because again, the nature of humanity was perfectly displayed. People come out to see what? Events, but especially events that involve what? Gore, death. Yeah. Jesus was big news. There was a crowd at the cross. Isn't it interesting, though, that for the most part, they were opposed to him? They wanted to see him there and to see him die. Luke 23:35 says this, "And the people stood," in the King James it says, "beholding." You know, at most any event or thing that takes place, even a church service, most people are nominally what? They're gawking. Some people even come to church to hear the pastor make a mistake. It's called critical listening. But people saw Jesus, and that's why they came. They came because it was a show for them. It was entertainment. What do you think about that today with people? Is there a factor of entertainment in Jesus in our culture? Yeah, people like certain things about Jesus, but do they really love the Jesus of the cross that went there for their sins? "And the people stood beholding," or gawking, "and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God." Can't you just hear that in modern times? Well, prove it. You had all this to say. Prove it. Well, Jesus indeed could have done that very thing. Could he have not? Not. He could have called legions of angels at that time and to have him taken down from the cross, but that wasn't his mission. Like we learned last night, his mission and his message was that God loves all people and that he came for all people. But many people, like at the cross today, stand by and gawk. People probably driving by this morning, Fruitland Baptist Church. Boy, there's not many cars there for Christmas Day. There's a lot of gawkers out there, the passers-by. Are you a passerby, or are you actively engaged with the one who hung on that cross? Third thing, the chief priests and scribes, Matthew 27, 41 through 43. I already alluded to that. Matthew 27, 41 through 43. Matthew 27, 41 through 43. "Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." They didn't want to believe what he told them, that he was headed there for their sakes and he would rise the third day and have victory over sin, death, and hell. Folks, religion is one of the biggest enemies of Jesus in our day. Pulpits that fail to proclaim accurately who he is, who have given people wrong messages about the Word of God. But let me tell you this today, entrenched religion is against Jesus Christ in many cases. Be careful what you hear. And I will say this, many churches today are closed because, and not that, again, accurately, this was probably when Jesus was conceived about this time of the year. By mistake, we celebrate his birth on the 25th of December. That was probably when he was conceived. But many places today that call themselves churches are closed because they want people to have family time. What about the family of time for the family of God? Family time for the family of God. Religion, the muckety-mucks of Israel, led people astray even further. And they were there at the cross to watch as well. Well, the next one. We have 6 points today. The centurion and the soldiers. The centurion. And of course, a centurion is one who commands a squad of 100 men, 100 Roman soldiers. This is the Romans here, folks, that were involved. Let's start out with Matthew 27:54. You see, there was a great cross-section of people at the cross. And again, we know that because of the message that Pilate put up there in those three languages. Matthew 27:54, the centurion and the soldiers. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, I believe that's the soldiers, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they what? They feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. By the way, Jesus came first for the Jew, but also he came for the non-Jew. And let me tell you, some of the very people that held Israel under the control of the Roman government also saw what this man Jesus did on the cross, the God-man, and they believed. Folks, you know, I think the last couple of days there were, and we've got some folks here from the great state of California, there were some earthquakes in Northern California, and it got people's attention for a little bit. But you know, generally, in our day, they miss who the attention should be directed to. The attention should be directed when we see cataclysmic events, like we saw right here, our big 1 to 2 inches of snow accompanied by high winds, 50-mile-an-hour winds, and sub-zero temperatures. What did most people do in those conditions? They didn't give glory to God, did they? You know? And Kim and I are not guiltless in things either, but, you know, we said the power of God. How fast he can turn the tables on humanity. The boys got a different tractor this year to feed cattle, and their stuff was getting old. And I won't go into the color they got, but it was not one that was acceptable to me. But that's their business. But the reason they went with an orange one, a Kubota, because they could afford it. The red or the green were twice as high. But I still have hope. I said, you really need to get a red one. But they're true. They're right about that. But you know, all the modern things, they were out there each of those days, the tractor would not run. God can turn everything on a dime. The centurion and the soldiers saw what happened with the earthquakes. They saw that at noontime it was what? Dark. As Jesus was bearing the effects of sin upon himself on the cross of Calvary. And you know what? They saw the adversity and they saw the power of God and they believed. I believe we'll see that centurion, because he said, this is the Son of God. And some of the soldiers with him. See, Jesus had a great witness in those 30, well, in those 3 years of his public ministry, but even as we learned before that, he had an effect on the people. And as the Bible accurately says, Jesus is a divider of men. You're either with him or you're against him. And if you're on the fence, wondering, you're still against him, because if you're not for him, you're against him. Anyway, Luke 23:35-27. Luke 23:36-37. Now, not all the soldiers believed. Verse 36, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save yourself. So again, Jesus is the divider. Some of the soldiers, the Roman centurion, confessed that he was what? The Son of God. But others again mocked him. Okay? And then one last turn, John 19, 23 through 24. John 19, 23 through 24. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, this is the one that really gets to me, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith. Now the soldiers didn't say this, but the writer of this gospel, John, said it. This had to happen to fulfill scriptures, that they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. By the way, that's found in Psalm 22:18. It was prophesied. The unbelieving soldiers gambled over Jesus' garments. The Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, you know, that wants to make me angry this morning. I want to slap the pulpit, say, what was wrong with them? And yet, what's wrong with us today? Jesus was used for monetary gain and sport. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May that never be from us, folks. What a sad, sad thing. The centurion and the soldiers. And then the other thing, there's two other things that are spoken from the cross. The malefactors or malefactors. Thieves. Let's start out today with Matthew 27, 44. Matthew 27, 44. You know, I like to see when people's hearts are changed. Matthew 27, 44. Matthew 27, 44. Initially, Jesus, of course, it's told us scripturally that he was hung there on the cross and had two thieves on either side. Malefactors is what they're called, or malefactors. I joke about that, but it's malefactor. But originally, neither one of those thieves understood what was going on. And I prove this today in 44. The thieves also, it says plural, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth. In other words, they went right along with the mockery that was going on in verse 43, which concludes, he trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves went right along with that crowd as they hung there with their life in the balance in a matter of minutes or hours. They were going to pass into eternity. Friends, do we realize how close eternity is to each and every one of us today? It could be very close. It's one breath or one heartbeat away. And yet our world around us, I pray to God, no one in this room this morning, our world around us does what? They go on without a care. Because they don't understand the gravity of what life is and what eternity is. God forbid anyone in this room today would not understand that. But I am so thankful that on that cross, and I believe it's because of what possibly these guys knew that were hanging beside Jesus, in the case of one at least, or what took place there on that cross in Jesus' ministry to them, that one of those thieves on the cross repented and was saved. Let's look at that this morning in Luke 23, 39 through 43. Luke 23, 39 through 43. Luke 23, 39 through 43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself. We already looked at that. That was recorded there earlier. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? Your life's going to end. My life's going to end. Jesus' life is going to end. But you know what? I've changed my mind. I believe he is the Son of God. But the other answering rebuked him, do you not fear God? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss, not a thing wrong. He realized that by the power of the Holy Spirit there on the cross. Jesus was the innocent Lamb of God. He never sinned. He couldn't sin because he was God. And that man, that thief on the cross, saw that in Jesus that day. A few people saw the truth. Praise God. We're going to meet that guy someday. He stood up for Jesus on the cross. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord. By the way, when he called him Lord, that's an acknowledgement of what? That he knew who Jesus was, and he had placed his faith in him. He called him his Lord. And what does he say to him? He didn't come to him with a mocking word or a haughty attitude at this point. He said, Lord, remember me. Oh, if that hasn't been the case for all of us in this room, if we've been born again in Jesus Christ. Lord, remember me. I am not worthy of what you have done, but yet you came for me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. By the way, today, if there's one in this room, if there would be, that has never trusted Jesus, you've wondered. I'll tell you what, the evidence is here in the book. Acts 4:12 says, there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby thou must be saved. He's the man. He's the God-man. John 14:6 says, it's exclusive. He told those apostles, he says, I am the way, the way. There was no options given. The truth and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's Jesus. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, the same message he will say to you today, if you've never laid your sins at the foot of the cross and acknowledged Jesus as the risen Son of God, the Lord. My friends, Jesus said unto him, truly or verily, or you've got my word on it, today you shall be with me in paradise. The thieves on the cross, one rejected Jesus, but one received him. We are no different than those thieves. We're sinful man, and we can only be redeemed or bought back in one way, and that's through the Son of God, Jesus. All right, our last point for this morning, point number 6. We're going to listen to who from the cross? Jesus had quite a bit to say from the cross, but I chose only to bring the last things he had to say. Because you know what? The cross means it's a done deal. And the cross is capped off by the resurrection. By the way, just so we're clear on that, the Bible never says to celebrate Jesus' birth, even though it is not wrong to do that, but it always says to remember his resurrection. So let's look in the book of Luke, since we're there right now, at verse 46. But let me read 44 up to 46. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. 3 hours when the sun's in its highest point, the brilliance of the sun is apparent between noon and 3 p.m. at its high point every day. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. By the way, that happened to show that we no longer need a mediator in the temple to bring us into fellowship directly with God, because now Jesus Christ is becoming and had become at that time the mediator. He's our high priest. By the way, we're priests. We're a kingdom of priests as believers. We have direct access to Jesus. We can even call him on Christmas Day. And he'll answer. That was done for us, folks. It's a communication thing. You know, the people we love, we like to communicate with, don't we? We have a pretty nice communication network in our day, sometimes. Our landline gave us fits for the last several weeks. I could not get it figured out. I had to call the phone company out. They told me there's only about 200 people that still have landlines on the Wilton phone system. Alicia, can you believe that? And you could believe that Pastor John and Kim would still have one, right? But we have a vast communications network in our very hands. And what's the deal here, folks? Oftentimes, with all this communication, we miss Jesus. But we miss the fact that we can go to our Father through Him at any time. And my Lord cares for me. God the Father cares for us. And by the way, I joke about the complaint department, but you know what? We don't have any reason to go to God with a complaint, but if we do, He'll still listen to us. Because the Bible tells us from the Apostle Peter, cast your cares, cast your complaints on Him. Because what? He cares about you. Aren't you thankful for that on this Christmas day of 2022? Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Notice this, by the way. Jesus wasn't murdered on the cross. Jesus wasn't killed on the cross, which means the same thing. The Jews did not put Jesus on the cross by themselves. All of us put Jesus on the cross. But let it be known, He didn't have to do it because He gave His life. He volunteered it. He said right there, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. He died. He was the sacrificial price that was paid for our sins in His body. And His blood covered our sins. That God the Father, when He looks at John Brown, He sees Jesus' blood and says, He's mine. My Son bought Him with His blood. My sin is covered before the Lord God because of His Son Jesus. And that's the case with all of us in here, folks. I'll tell you what, there's no gift you can find under a tree today that goes better than that. That's where it's all at. John 19:30, our last verse for today. By the way, have you got the message or do we need to go longer? By the way, if you don't have the message and you're interested, I'll stay with you as long as it need be to look at it in Scripture. It's that important. It's more important than lunch today or anything else that you've got going on. When Jesus therefore, this is John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. When He said, it is finished, He said, it's a done deal. It's done. We studied Jesus the last 4 weeks from the cradle to the cross. When He said it is finished, it is finished. There's more to come, but this is the basics. This is where salvation was given to man through the precious blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, and His death on the cross. That journey from cradle to grave was a tough one. Oh yes, that 1 week we studied probably was the best week from the perspective of our preaching, but the best time in His life when Jesus was growing up. But let me tell you something, folks. He came with a mission and a message, and He had a rough go of it here. And He still has a rough go of it here, folks, with people. But let me tell you, He finished His job. He finished His calling. He came as the gift of Christmas for you and for me. And He proved it. Larry, He proved it on the cross. By the way, if you don't believe the Bible, read secular accounts. And there's not many of them of that day. But they'll tell you a man named Jesus went to the cross and died and rose the third day. Anyway, last page, we're just about done. Well, friends, that's how the journey to the cross ended. Not the ideal journey, right, of what we look at here. For the Son of God, the babe of Bethlehem, but the only journey that could help you and me as sinful, hell-bound humans. While Jesus was the victim of our sin, the next phase of His journey after the cross was as the victor over sin, death, and hell in the power of His resurrection. That's the message of the babe of Bethlehem. May God be praised and thanked as we celebrate His birth in the year of our Lord, 2022. By the way, even our calendars in years, It's the Latin phrase, ad domini. They're trying to remove it, folks. They're trying to do what they've always done to Jesus, take him out of the picture. But it is the year of our Lord, 2022. It's his calendar. His gift of salvation is yours for the taking today. Merry Christmas to you all. Amen. Let's sing today number 121 in closing, Away in a Manger. And I'm going to ask Lynn Paris to close us today in prayer. But today again, if your eyes have been opened to Jesus and they have never before, like the thief on the cross, acknowledge him today. Let's stand if we are able today. But indeed, this is the message of the babe of Bethlehem, the one that came in a cattle trough, that was born and placed in a cattle trough. He lived a life again for his father, but a life that was fraught with many rough things that he saw from the sin of mankind. And yet, he is the loving Savior who gave himself as a gift for our sins. Let's sing about him today. If you have a need in your life today, as I said earlier, Jesus is even working on Christmas. He's open to listen to you today. Lynn, I'll ask you to close. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes. But little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my side until morning is nigh. Lord, stay by our sides till we meet you face to face. Brother Lynn.